Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This massacre is therefore a further reminder of how easy it is for someone to get their hands on a weapon that lets them shoot people in a school, or in a house of worship, or a movie theater, or in a nightclub.
It is far too frequent that I am opening this show with these kinds of things that are happening. Senseless violence at the hand of people who just disagree with someone's lifestyle. 50 people who were simply celebrating their life are no longer around. Obviously, thoughts and prayers go to the friends and family of these 50 people and those that were injured. But it is my mind that shows like this one continue, because it's shows like this one that help us when we are in times of denial, difficulty, whatever the case may be. This is Mark in the Morning. You see what I did? I'm playing a song that's got the name of the day in it.
Mm-hmm. No, you're a genius.
Thank you.
We were just acknowledging it silently.
All right, so today we're going to have a listener press conference. This is where we open the phones, and you can call and ask a question of any of us. Question you want an answer to, we will give you that answer. Now, nobody loves fun facts more than me, and I know that not everybody loves them, so I've limited myself today, and they're all good. A rousing round of fun facts for 50 seconds, and I've got a timer. Now, if the timer goes off in the middle of a fun fact, the rule is, the only rule of fun facts for 50 seconds is I get to finish that fun fact.
Oh, thank God.
That's the thing. So it's not too long. You can survive 50 seconds.
Are they themed? Are they Monday fun facts? Or are they just fun facts?
Random fun facts.
Can't wait.
But they're all really, really good.
Oh, I can't wait. I love fun facts.
And my goal is to simply say one and have you go, huh. That's all I need.
I'm sure it'll happen at least once.
That's all I'm looking for.
All right.
Today we speak with Shaquille O'Neal. Four reasons today doesn't suck. The top 10 richest athletes. Will yours be on it? A rousing round of did you know? And by the way, be careful at graduation. Your kids graduating, be careful. You could get arrested.
What?
Now, we may want to open the phones on this next one. Those of us that live with a significant other, is your bathroom a battle with your mate? Because there's a lot of good points that are made. And there is a new naked restaurant, and they're lining up to get in. All of this coming your way on Mark in the Morning. At the box office, The Conjuring 2, a horror sequel which cost twice as much to make as the $20 million first one, only managed to match that film's opening weekend success, scaring up more than 40 million in ticket sales. The first film took in a total of $138 million.
No, this is not your house. Now, what's your name?
Knock, knock.
Very well. Who's there? Bill who?
My name is Bill Wilkins, and I'm 72 years old.
What do you make of that voice?
He sounds confused. Is he senile?
The voice on this tape is coming from an 11-year-old girl.
Okay. Bye-bye. Everybody have a great show, and maybe we'll try it again tomorrow when I'm not terrified. I hate it here.
Yeah, that's Gina's. I love this about her. When she hears something she doesn't want to hear, it's just simply this. No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
Bye-bye.
No. No. Gina, when I heard that clip, I couldn't wait to play it for you.
Well, at first I'm like, okay, he's a chimney sweep, but I didn't need that ending. That was horrible.
Oh, God. I just looked so forward to playing it for you. I couldn't wait. I mean, there's no reason to include the clip, no. But I did for you.
You're the worst. Move on.
Oh, God. So, Gina, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was fairly uneventful. I got to tell you, I read a book in less than 24 hours, and it was awesome.
Wow.
You know what? It reminded me a lot of you, this book.
What's the book?
It's are you familiar with the name Brian Grazer? Big, huge executive producer in Hollywood.
Ron Howard's partner.
Exactly. And imagine he wrote a book a while back, and I just picked it up, called The Curious Mind. And it's about basically how being curious helps you be better in business, helps you have better relationships. And just, it reminded me so much of you, because when you talk about your childhood and how you're always doing crazy things and jumping off stuff and never a boring, dull moment in little Mark Thompson's world. It reminded me of you and how you've carried that with you. And it reminded me of me and how I haven't. And it makes me crazy, and I want to start being more curious again.
I think you're right. I think that would be the pinnacle of why for example, the time that I took, I had seen zip lines on television. And I wondered, okay, if I take a rope and I tie it to the top of that tree, and then I tie the other end to the bottom of this tree, and I cut up my father's garden hose, and I take a piece and I put it on the rope, could I slide down? And that's curiosity. So I did it. And the answer is, no, you can't, because the garden hose, I stepped off the tree, and the garden hose, it moved for about a foot, and then it stuck, which knocked me off, and I did flips, all banging the limbs, and I'm lucky that I just landed on my butt, and it knocked the wind out of me.
Did your dad kill you for cutting up that garden hose?
Oh, I had to cut yards and pay for it. But you see, I knew that I was going to have to do that,
yeah.
But it didn't matter. This is too good. I must try this.
That's great. And Brian Grazer's whole thing is he's been setting up his entire life this thing called Curious Conversations. And he'll go, Jonas Salk, who cured polio, Princess Diana, anyone you could possibly think of, he's sat down with for an hour and just asked them about what drives them.
That's
and
good stuff.
The book is great, so you'd love it.
That the only time, because I don't read novels, I just lose interest. The only time it ever happened to me was I was in the grocery store. I was like 22, living in Knoxville, and I'm checking out, and they've got books, right? You know, they want you to buy it.
Right.
So I see the most horrifying book and whatever. It was The Amityville Horror.
Oh, yeah.
So a paperback, and I bought it. I got back to the apartment. I put the grocery bag down on the table, and I see the book. So I picked it up, and I thought, well, I'll just read the first couple of pages. I obviously finished it. Sitting there, and I was so into the book, I looked up, and the ice cream I had bought melted through the bag and is dripping onto the carpet, and I didn't even notice
it. That's a good book.
Well, if I could find the right ones, I would continue to read, I may get the name of your book.
Yeah, this might be the one for you.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
You bet I do. And on Friday, Billy Crystal was at the Muhammad Ali Memorial, and he gave his eulogy. And Billy was there for the comic relief aspect, but I had no idea that Billy and Ali were really good friends. So the first clip I'm going to play for you is the first time they met when Billy was doing an impression of Muhammad Ali, and he was really scared after, didn't know how Muhammad was going to act. Here we go.
Got to the podium. Went right into the Cosell. Hello, everyone. Howard Cosell coming to you live from Zaire. Some would pronounce it Zaire. They're wrong. It got big laughs. And then I went into the Ali.
Everybody's talking about George Foreman. I want to talk about George Foreman. George Foreman was ugly. He's so slow. George was slow. I come out, voop, voop, voop. And then I have a rope-a-dope George, and I'm still fast at 33 years of age. I'm so fast that I can turn up the lights, be in my bed before the room gets dark. Howard, I'm announcing tonight that I got new religious beliefs. From now on, I want to be known as Izzy Yiskowitz. I am now an Orthodox Jew. Izzy Yiskowitz, I am the greatest of all time.
The audience exploded. See, no one had ever done him before. And here he was, a white kid from Long Island, imitating the greatest of all time, and he was loving it. And when I was done, he gave me this big bear hug, and he whispered in my ear, "You're my little brother." Which is what he always called me until the last time that I saw him.
And then later on in the eulogy, he talked about the time that Muhammad Ali and Billy were at Howard Cosell's funeral. And Ali was cracking jokes.
I sat next to him at Howard Cosell's funeral. A very somber day, to be sure. Closed casket was on the stage. Muhammad and I were sitting somewhere over there next to each other. And he quietly whispered to me, "Little brother, do you think he's wearing his hairpiece?" So I said, "I don't think so." "Well, then how will God recognize him?" So I said, "Champ, once he opens his mouth, God'll know."
There you go. There's your mic.
That was
great.
Good dog.
How does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean?
Now, for those of you that don't know, there is a play on Broadway. It's called Hamilton. It's about Alexander Hamilton. You cannot get a ticket. Everybody raves about it. And last night were the Tony Awards, which is the award ceremony for Broadway. As expected, Hamilton dominated the 70th annual Tony Awards with 11 honors on Sunday. Jessica Lange added to her trophy shelf with her first ever Tony. Here, the cast of Hamilton opens the 70th annual Tony Awards with a song about the host, James Corden.
Best known for sitting and jesting from a desk in the middle of a forgotten slot on late night, far from Manhattan, chatting with Hollywood phonies, end up being the guy who hosted Tony. CBS said this collision of theater and television needs a risk taker. It needs a rule breaker. It needs a troublemaker, a mover and a shaker. It needs that chubby dude from Into the Woods.
And did you know, by the way, that during commercial breaks, James Corden was going around to different stars in the audience and making them do karaoke? Like, he had a karaoke songbook. He had the whole thing.
Did he do good? Was he funny?
Oh, and they said it was fantastic.
Great. I didn't see a bit of it. I was so excited about this past weekend because Linda has been really, really sick all week. And I had hoped that we were going to get a chance to just get better. No, she wakes up. She has a viral infection. And this has hit every part of her body. Oh. She has an infected sinus. She has a compacted lung where she has a dry cough, but it wasn't coming up. Ugh. She wakes up Saturday morning, bedridden 2 days, by the way. She wakes up Saturday morning. Her left eye is almost swollen shut.
What?
So we go back to the doctor, and he said the problem she's having is that the infected sinus isn't moving. So instead of giving us an antibiotic, which they just won't do anymore,
because it's a virus.
That's what he said. It's viral, so the antibiotic is not going to help you, but we have to get that mucus going. So she spent the entire weekend bent over a boiling pot of water with a towel over her head, breathing that steam in. And it started to move it, but the whole weekend was just that. Oh, her being sick and me making sure she took whatever pill she's supposed to. She's got just a shelf of medicine, and none of it is helping.
Oh, it feels so awful. And I got to ask you, she's not listening right now, is she?
Probably.
Oh, crap. Linda, I love you. Your husband should take care of you 24 hours a day. Mark, are you kind of trying to stay away so you don't get sick? Are you like throwing things under the door and running? Or?
I've done the thing about washing my hands constantly. But the doctor said this is very contagious. Yeah. And if you don't already have it, it could be that you have already had this, because once you've had it, you don't get it again.
Okay. Wow. This is some serious stuff.
Oh, man. She said it's not even the sick part and dealing with it, I am so sick and tired of feeling crappy.
Yeah.
I just want to feel good. Because we were going to have a pool day and all that stuff, and we didn't get a chance to because, you know, she's sick. Aww. But the sickest I've ever been was I was off the air for 2 weeks with the flu.
2 weeks?
Yeah, dude. I had 103. I had to go because I was under the impression, because we had to go to the doctor, that I needed to keep myself covered up and you sweat it out.
That's what they say.
And he didn't. He said, you're up to 103. When you get up to that, you need to get into a bathtub with ice.
Time to stop sweating at 103, yeah.
It's not as bad as it was, but her left eye is still swollen, even after 2 days of breathing steam out of a pot.
Nobody should have to look like Tyson with a little bit of a sinus infection.
And dude, the swelling is not just swollen, it's red, like somebody
Linda.
Popped her.
Yeah. Oh man, sorry, Linda.
So hopefully this is gonna break at some point, because sick is sick and this is no good. I was pausing a little bit because Gina is eating cauliflower.
Sorry.
And she's not ready yet.
All right.
I'm telling you, I work with a rabbit.
I just really like it. Okay, let's get serious. We're going to do a little trending. Right. Hundreds of people lined up to donate blood yesterday in an effort to help the victims of the attack in Orlando. Now, I don't know if you saw, there was some Vine footage and some other video footage. Lines wrapped around the block at blood banks. It was very heartening, you know, to see that. The one they needed the most was type O negative. So if you're, for some reason, listening in that area and you happen to be O negative, please go over there and donate. Accepting his Tony for Best Original Score for Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda delivered a powerful sonnet in tribute of the victims in Orlando. He also thanked his wife and credited her as the reason, quote, anything gets done. And here's what's trending in sports. The Penguins are the Stanley Cup winners. They beat the San Jose Sharks yesterday, 3-1. I'm Gina Grad, trending brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up at 6:40, we speak to a former student from Trump University. But first, the police. This is Mark in the Morning.
Well, it turns out that the long-sought-after key to weight loss may be right in front of your face.
I'm listening.
For eating in front of a mirror can promote a healthy diet, scientists suggest. They discovered that people who ate unhealthy foods such as chocolate cake while looking at their own reflection in a mirror were less likely to find the food satisfying and tasty. Experts said the key lies in the fact that people feel uncomfortable seeing themselves eat unhealthy crap. They become acutely aware that they should be eating healthier options instead. As a result, scientists suggest before you consume a hamburger, fries, and a Coke, go grab a mirror.
That sounds like a fun way to enjoy a meal.
Good God.
You know, a lot of people say that this is the way, except you're supposed to do it naked. So it would basically just be you eating naked in front of a mirror crying.
I love chocolate too much.
Well, there is truth to, when I do yoga, I do it naked.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Visual.
I gave it to you.
Yeah.
Because you can see your body.
Right.
And when there's part of your body that's not the way you want it to be, I do tend to work harder.
Uh-huh.
Because I can see.
Right.
This needs to be better.
No, I respect that completely. But do the cash and prizes get in the way when you're in downward dog or?
This is not the case anymore. But when I first started to work out again, when I would do push-ups,
mm-hmm.
the first thing to hit the floor was my gut.
Oh, that's the worst.
And that's a good reminder.
That's smart.
It is. It just lets you know I need to be working harder.
Well, you know, you're exactly right, Mean Gene. 1 year ago, brother, me and the Macho Man were as one. We were best of friends. We would do anything.
Now, Hulk Hogan has vanished many a foe in the ring, but he is probably the only professional wrestler to have forced a corporation into bankruptcy. Gawker Media has filed for Chapter 11 protection. A judge denied Gawker's request to stay the $140 million judgment that the Hulkster won over its publication of his sex tape.
This is exactly what Peter Thiel wanted. Remember, there has been a financial backer supporting this whole thing so that Hulk could take down Gawker.
I was unaware of all of this.
Oh, Mark! Well, you know, and we watched The Social Network again this weekend, which is a movie I love.
Yeah.
And they even refer to Peter Thiel. He's a big Silicon Valley guy, and he did not like Gawker. So he helped finance this and help them go to Chapter 11, and whew, powerful guy.
Will, I don't know anything about these things. Will Hulk Hogan ever see the money?
He'll see as much as they have. I don't know that they have $140 million to give, but he'll, I would assume he'd be part owner in Gawker now. You know, when you can't pay up, you have to start giving stuff to them.
And look, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but even I know that you can't publicly release images of somebody doing something they don't want people to know, and you don't have their permission to do it.
Duh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even understand how it is they could have done it in the first place.
Yeah.
But that is a big duh. Well, next time you see Rod Stewart, you'll need to refer to him as Sir Rod. Queen Elizabeth knighted him in her birthday honors list. Stewart, who was recognized for his services to music and charity, says, quote, "I've led a wonderful life and I've had a tremendous career thanks to the generous support of the great British public. This monumental honor has topped it off and I couldn't ask for anything more. I thank Her Majesty and promise to wear it well."
Wasn't he one of those guys with those stories about perseverance that said, "Nobody wanted me to sing. Everybody hated my voice. They thought it was too scratchy, too raw. It wasn't, pop enough. And look at me now."
What's your favorite Rod Stewart song?
I can't. You know what? I know what yours is going to be because I know the genre you come from. But I love Maggie May.
Oh, I love Maggie May. That's probably his most known. I like Handbags and Glad Rags.
Oh.
But if we ever get him on the show, I want him to do You Think I'm Sexy, because he doesn't do it anymore. He's embarrassed by it. Now, those of us in Southern California, we know to fear the big one. I'm talking about earthquakes. But Japan actually has it worse than we do. Earthquakes are common in Japan. Often shaking causes their elevators to come to a halt. And if you're trapped in a lift for several hours, you might be glad to have drinking water and a toilet. This is what Japan engineers are now considering, especially in light of the probability that their country will, in the coming decades, be hit with the big one. They think elevators could have portable toilets made of collapsible cardboard and fitted with a waterproof bag and absorbent materials inside. In emergency, it would be better than nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, can you imagine being stuck in an elevator for days?
No. And wishing that there was something like this, but on the flip side, say the five of us are stuck in an elevator and we're on day two, and I'm like, am I the only one that really has to go to the bathroom?
In front of the people in the elevator. Now, Gina, are you familiar with this story of the twin sisters in Hawaii?
No.
Okay, apparently these two women, and this is alleged part, but they would open up yoga shops. And people would buy in, and then it would fail, and they would just leave with everybody's money, allegedly.
Okay.
Well, last week, the twins were driving in a car. The car went off an embankment, and one of the sisters died. They then took the living sister and tried to bring charges that she killed her sister on purpose. There was an eyewitness that saw them in their car drive past him. He was driving the other direction. He said they were in a physical altercation at the time while driving the car.
Oh, my God.
And then it's not just airplanes that have black boxes, so do cars.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
There was the black box was retrieved from the car. The sister that was driving, according to the report that I heard, did not hit the brakes. She accelerated. Now, in my mind, if they were physically fighting, then that may have well caused the accident.
Right. But unless she's bionic, wouldn't she assume that she would die too?
Right. That was what the defense was saying. She didn't kill her sister. She risked, if in fact she did this on purpose, she was risking killing herself.
Right.
They did not press charges.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just one of those bizarre, strange stories from last week.
You've been watching a lot of Dateline, haven't you?
It's Good Morning America.
Okay.
I watch Good Morning America and pretty much, and they were all over that story.
Wow.
Every day for a week. I'm in with the end. Oh, by the way, we told you we were going to speak with a woman who claimed to be cheated by Trump University. And you've heard this before. We have a company that provides us with some of these interviews. And the problem is that the gap of silence between my question and their answer is you could drive a truck through it. Well, and we've spoken with them before. And today we were supposed to talk to her, but the delay was gigantic, so we pulled it.
And in case people don't understand what we're talking about with a delay, with a gap, why don't we just do a quick reenactment of what you would have heard? I'll be her, Mark, and you be you.
Okay, so Gwen, you claim that you were duped by Trump University. Is that correct?
That's right, Mark. I feel very cheated by the experience, yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration. See, what happens is the said celebrity or person who's going to be interviewed, they usually will get on their cell phone because they can do it from wherever, and they call into the central station where they patch her in, and then they patch her in to us. So we've got this delay of a cell phone normally, and then this patching in is another double delay. So we pulled it. Sorry, I would have loved to have heard whatever she had to say, but we had to pull it because of that. And we have complained to this company about this before, which apparently meant nothing to them. The legal drinking age is 21, but a growing number of bars have begun tweaking that rule a bit and refusing to serve customers who are under 25 or even 30. Now, you ask, why shut out the millennials? Some bar owners say that the younger crowd just can't handle their liquor. So patrons get rowdy and they drive away the older drinkers who spend more money. Johnny B., who owns a bar called the Auction House in New York City, said, quote, "Everybody was bar hopping in their flannel shirts with a beer in their hand and their hat on backwards. We do not want that crowd. A 32-year-old might have better control over his actions and his thoughts than a 22-year-old.
Are you allowed to refuse service to someone just because of their age? Isn't that a little ageist? Millennialist?
I guess, but, okay, so look, I get it. You've got a bunch of these young kids plowed drunk, getting in fights, and driving off the 35-plus crowd who spends more money, they dress better. And so he's saying, those are the ones that I want. I want the older people.
Wow.
And since he's doing it, I assume that he can.
That's really interesting. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to shoo the flannel shirt crowd out as well, even though I'm wearing a hoodie. But yeah, I didn't know you could do that. Interesting.
This is funny. Last Wednesday, a passenger in a taxi heading for the airport leaned over to ask the driver a question and gently tapped him on the shoulder to get his attention. The driver screamed, lost control of the cab, and nearly hit a bus, drove up over the curb, and stopped just inches from a large plate window. For a few moments of silence, everything was silent. Then the shaking driver said, "Are you okay? I am so sorry, but you scared the daylights out of me." The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, quote, "I didn't realize a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly." The driver replied, "No, I'm the one who is sorry. It's entirely my fault. Today is my first day driving a cab. For 25 years, I drove a hearse."
Oh! Not only is that a great story, but that would have been a great, how could this have happened?
Yeah, I should have stopped. I just, the punch was too good, so I just wanted to get to it.
That's fantastic.
5 seconds for $5.
My dumb ass forgot to tell you to call 888-696-1003. If you answer the question, you get $5. If you do not answer the question, it goes to $10 tomorrow. Everybody's buzzing about it. That's why the phones are packed. Absolutely buzzing over the entire thing. It's crazy great.
You're the best. What was the winning question? We were up to like $35 or $40. What did they sweep it on last week?
The dude, he knew, help me.
It was something from Cats and a Bible verse. It was Deuteronomy.
That was it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And I said, did you know it from the Bible or from...
Cats.
Cats. And he goes, I'm a Broadway nut. I knew it from Cats.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All right, Jackie, give me Joseph. All right, yes. Joseph, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing real well. How old are you?
26. I called last time. I'm the one with the tractor. You said girls are attracted to tractors or something ridiculous like that. I haven't found that true yet, Mark.
Yeah.
Dude, listen, the chicks are all about tractors.
It's true.
Well, when you find a chick that's into tractors, you let me know, okay?
Well, if you think I'm kidding, type in tractor porn.
That's tractor, not a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a way thing.
Really?
Look, let me tell you something. You apparently not too into the world of the porn. You can type in any kind of porn and it's going to pop up. You could type in refrigerator porn and it exists.
This is very educational.
I'm just telling you.
Thank you.
So, Joseph, what do you... Well, I've already asked you that. You drive a tractor. What do you do on a tractor?
I level land for farmers.
Do you like that?
I do.
Now, is this one of those tractors that has an enclosure with air conditioning?
Definitely. In 115-degree weather, you have to have enclosed AC.
And how long does it take you to level, say, an acre?
An acre?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. A few hours?
Wow. What kind of tractor you got? John Deere?
John Deere, definitely. That's the only way to go.
Gina, type in John Deere porn.
No!
I guarantee it exists. Gina.
Hold on.
Watch this.
John.
Gina's typing it in.
Deere. Is this more specific than tractor porn?
John Deere
porn. Whoa!
Are you guys serious right now?
Whoa! The first one that comes up, that's, I can't even say it, but somebody gets, quote, never mind. Yep. Just Google it yourself.
All right, Joseph, you obviously know how this works. You've played before. I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to have 5 seconds to answer it. If you don't, then tomorrow is 5 seconds for $10. You see that, Joe? You see how it's working? You see, that's the genius of the game, right?
Oh, definitely.
All right. Here we go. 5 seconds to answer this question, Joseph. What American statesman invented the rocking chair?
Three, two, one. I don't know.
Joseph, there is an old rule that I have followed for years and years and years. When it comes to an American statesman, when in doubt, simply say Benjamin Franklin. And 70%.
I was going to say George Washington just for fun. But.
Yeah, but 70% of the time when you say Benjamin Franklin, you're going to be correct.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because you're not saying president.
That's more educational than knowing that there's tractor porn out there, Mark.
Coming up at 20 minutes after 7, I have for you the richest athletes in the world. But right now, this is 1450 WLAY, Doobie Brothers on Mark in the Morning. Does Khloe Kardashian have doubts about who her father is? The questionable paternity of Khloe Kardashian has resurfaced in a documentary. A prison guard where O.J. Simpson has been sentenced to 33 years revealed the running back refused to submit his DNA. Khloe personally called the juice and begged him to take a paternity test. The guard claimed, quote, "In the prison, the phone calls have to be made out by O.J." The phone calls have to be made out by OJ.
So you can't call in. They can only call out.
Maybe. I got you. One day I could hear Khloe screaming into the phone. She was upset. She wanted him to take a paternity test, and OJ told her no. Khloe wished to dispel the myth that Robert Kardashian was not her real father. People have speculated about Khloe's dad mainly because she is so much taller than her sisters.
Wasn't the other rumor that it was Kris Jenner's hairstylist?
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, that was a big one. You know, and if maybe Mama Jenner should help make her daughter feel better.
Well, Robert Kardashian, this is according to the TV movie that we all watch, some of us all of it, some of us not. Robert Kardashian and OJ were best friends.
Right.
So are we to believe that Kris Jenner had an affair with OJ?
I would like to think that that would have been included in a sort of trashy TV movie. Even though I loved it, it was amazing. But, I mean, isn't that something scandalous and salacious they would have included if that was really on the table?
You mean in that made-for-TV movie?
Because that's a pretty big deal if Khloe Kardashian is really the daughter of O.J. Simpson.
Okay, so if I'm the producer of that made-for-TV movie and this is on the table, mm-hmm. that we should allege that O.J. could be Khloe's father.
Yeah.
That's pretty slanderous unless you have some belief that unless you have something in your possession that is factual.
Gotcha. And by the way, we met the writers of that miniseries. Fantastic guys, and they've been working on it for years. So I think you're right. I think if there was any evidence, they would have included it. But if not, what's the point?
Well, right now, it just gives me a chance to play my good soap opera music, which I love. Like it or not, it is a thing. Naked restaurants. We talked about one that was open temporarily.
Yeah, pop-up restaurant.
Yeah, and they were packed. The reservation...
I didn't even mean to do that. You were saying.
That's good. Yeah. So, the question is, this restaurant that was open temporarily, they were packed. No more reservations. So what is the thing about eating your dinner and being naked? If you want to eat at Japan's hottest new restaurant, you'd better be hot as well and willing to eat naked. The Armorita, opening soon in Tokyo, will offer organic meals to those willing to have dinner completely naked. Not just anybody with a credit card and a lack of modesty can dine there. House rules state that anybody who's more than 20 pounds over their ideal body weight cannot get in. And if you think you can fib your way in, good luck. A manager will be on hand with a scale to weigh borderline diners to ensure they fit the bill, and that's not a joke.
What?
Owners have also decided to ban guests under the age of 18 and anybody over the age of 60. Because who wants to see fat old people?
This is messed up, Mark.
Well, I think their idea is to have trim, pretty people, so it's fun to look at them naked.
Yeah, but can they do that? I mean, you couldn't do that here. There'd be so many people, the ACLU. I mean, in Japan, it's just like, nope, too fat, bisey daisies.
You're fat and ugly. Nobody wants to see your man bits, dude.
Oh, my God.
Okay, here we go.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
According to Forbes magazine, here are the top 10 richest athletes in the world for 2016. Number 10, Kobe Bryant. Made his money from basketball. He is worth $50 million. Number 9, Jordan Spieth. Made his money from golf, and he's still making it, $52.8 million. By the way, this list is for 2016. Did I say that?
No, okay. But we appreciate it. Wait, and Kobe's at the bottom of the list so far?
Number 10, right.
Wow.
Number 8, Phil Mickelson, golf, $52.9 million. Number 7, yes! Cam Newton, football, $53.1 million.
What team is he on?
Carolina Panther. Carolina Panther.
Gotcha.
Most of that salary came from me. Number 6, Novak Djokovic, tennis, $55.8 million.
Damn.
Number five, Kevin Durant, basketball, 56.2 million. Number four, Roger Federer, tennis, 67.8 million.
Now we're out of the 50s, so Roger Federer is in a new class.
Yes. And now we're about to step up again. Number three, LeBron James, basketball, 77.2 million.
Damn.
And the top two come from, they say, the biggest sport in the world.
Soccer.
It is soccer. Now, do you know any stars in soccer?
Is there a Beckham that's still playing? Or
he doesn't play anymore.
Nah, I don't know any.
Number two, Lionel Messi, soccer, 81.4 million. And your richest athlete in the world from 2016, Cristiano Ronaldo, soccer.
Yes. Yes.
You know him?
I concur. Anything they give him, whatever he wants.
$88 million for a year.
Well, is he a single gentleman?
It does say here on this list,
Gene. Okay, I'll do some research.
But it does say here in America, football is king. Cam Newton is the only football player in the top 10, and he is the only guy on the list who actually gets hit.
That's intense, though. Next to these guys, he's earned it.
All right, so let's talk this through. One big reason a relationship can go down the toilet is having to share a toilet with your guy. Every woman has experienced taking the unexpected dip, thanks to the dude who forgot to put the seat down, but that's not the only issue that's raised in the bathroom. Mysterious wet dribbles located around the toilet on the floor. We're not talking about a small target here. Remind him to ready and aim before firing. Coming in to pee while you're taking a nice relaxing shower. We do that so we can see you naked.
Yeah, but do you flush and ruin the whole experience with the shock of water or the hot water?
That's what it says. A poorly timed flush can throw cold water on a good mood. He leaves wet towels on the floor. You could slip and fall. Beard hair everywhere.
Oh.
Finding a stray hair is bad enough, but getting stuck by one of those prickly facial ones is yuck. And then the 1 hour dump. What is he doing in there?
How many of these are you guilty of, Mark?
Every single one of them.
Wow.
But you see, we're fortunate because I've said I have the man floor. I have an entire floor to myself. And I'm not allowed to take craps upstairs. I have to come down to my bathroom downstairs and do it down here.
So if you ever say, hey, guys, I'll be right back. I just got to run downstairs. Everybody knows what that means.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
And because I'll be honest with you, in my older age, it's pretty explosive.
It's always an emergency.
Yeah, it needs to be kept to myself here. Ooh. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Gratz.
And I'm not eating this time. Totally empty.
I'll get better when you are.
Thank you. Well, a GoFundMe account set up for the victims of the Orlando, Florida mass shooting has already raised, $1 million.
Wow.
Now, they pretty much got to that number in 11 hours. So it really tells you about the people out there and how wonderful they are. Equality Florida said the money raised will go directly to the victims and families of the shooting at Pulse Nightclub. The streaker who interrupted the last 2 minutes of Friday night's NBA Finals with the words Trump sucks scrawled across his chest is a Russian YouTube star. I don't know if you guys saw this, but we were watching it and I go, why don't they show it? I want to see what everyone's talking about. Well, they don't want to encourage other people to do it. But of course, the YouTube videos are now everywhere. He had a, quote, LeBron for president message written on his back, and he was detained for at least a half hour. And here's what else is trending in sports. The Warriors beat the Cavs Friday night, 108-97. I'm Gina Grad. That's what's trending online. Trending brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, four reasons today doesn't suck, and one of them has to do with one of the biggest albums of the 90s. But first, Black Sabbath. This is Mark in the Morning.
All right, let's go to Ryan. He is calling from Riverside. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
Sorry, I'm a little nervous, and I don't know if you guys can hear me. The ceremony is about to begin, but I'm calling for my graduation. I just want to say thank you to all of you for being such a big part of my morning. Every morning while I was commuting to school, back and forth. So, I mean, I listen to Mark and Linda, listen to you guys, followed you here, and I love all of you, and I love the show. And I just want to give a quick shout-out to my family, my grandparents, and my awesome boyfriend, and all my siblings. So, yeah, thank you guys so much.
Ryan, those are powerful, great, very kind words. Here you are at your high school graduation. I'm assuming high school, correct?
No, college.
College, nice.
Sorry,
what is your major?
I told Jackie high school, but I got nervous. So, yeah, college graduation. Graduating from UCR today.
What was your major?
Psychology.
Good for you. Now, do you plan to continue your education?
We'll see. I'm actually going to take a year or two, see if I can get some more work in, and then see where I go from there.
Well, Ryan, I can clearly tell you that if you were a fan of the Mark and Linda podcast, that makes you a disgusting pig.
Oh, you have no idea. So, yeah, no, you're right on that. You're right on the money there.
Hey, Ryan, listen, your words really made our day. Thank you very much. And keep us posted on your progress. Really want good things for you.
Will do. Thank you guys so much. I got to go.
Congratulations. Bye.
Bye.
It
Whoa,
is now.
How cool was that?
Yeah, I mean, just the kindest, nicest words from a disgusting pig. It is now time for 4 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
Hello, we're twins. We're twins. Yes, sir. I am me. She is
the Olsen twins, Ashley and Mary Kate, are celebrating their birthday today. Gina, how old do you think they are?
Oh, somewhere between 14 and 87.
They are 30 today.
Really?
And if you want to get technical, Ashley is 2 minutes older than Mary Kate.
Is this music them?
Yes.
I'd like to listen to The Conjuring again, please. This is terrifying.
No, this is not your house. Now, what's your name?
Knock, knock.
Very well. Who's there?
Bill. 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 Bill.
Bill who?
My name is Bill Wilkins, and I'm 72 years old.
What do you make of that voice?
He sounds confused. Is he senile?
The voice on this tape is coming from an 11-year-old girl.
I told Gina this morning, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in here prepping the show, and I heard that clip, and I normally wouldn't play it, but I wanted to watch Gina's reaction, and I got exactly what I was looking for.
I almost left.
Yeah, she was creeped out.
So good.
2.
Happy birthday. Tim Allen is 63 today.
To infinity and beyond.
3.
It's like rain.
It was on this day back in 1995, Alanis Morissette releases her first album, Jagged Little Pill. It goes on to become one of the biggest selling albums of the 1990s. And by 2014, she closed in on 15 million sold in this country alone.
Nice. I loved this album when it came out. I was in high school's perfect.
Now, what's the song where she's bitter about a former relationship?
Oh, that was before this. That's
You Ought to Know.
Thank you. You Ought to Know. And you know the rumors about that song, Mark.
Yeah.
Is it
Dave
true?
Coulier.
Is it true that song is about former boyfriend Dave Coulier?
I have asked him this question, and I will reserve the answer for when he's back on the show yet again.
Okay. So he'll say yes or no?
Yeah.
OMG. Okay.
4.
The long and winding road.
It was on this day, back in 1970, the Beatles top both the album chart and the singles chart with the album Let It Be and the song The Long and Winding Road. It is their 20th and last number one single.
Always
Four Reasons Today Doesn't Suck is brought to you by 12 locations of Southern California. No, it's brought to you by Bristol Farms. 12 locations in Southern California fulfilling all your grocery store needs. I shouldn't be on the air. The Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers will continue to battle it out for the NBA championship in Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. To help us get ready for the game, let's go to our special NBA correspondent, former NBA superstar Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq, thanks for being on the phone.
I'm not on the phone, Mark. I'm talking into the phone. If I was on the phone, I would crush it.
Right. So who do you think's going to win tonight?
The team with the most points, dummy.
Well, who do you think it will be, Shaq?
Whichever team throws the ball into the basket the most times.
That's obvious.
No, that's basketball. What kind of sport is obvious, Mark? That's a dumb name for a sport. Hey, Mom, I'm going to go outside and play some obvious with the other kids in the neighborhood. Maybe one day I'll get an obvious scholarship. That's dumb, Mark.
All right, fine. How do you think Steph Curry will play?
By dribbling the ball and throwing the ball toward the basket and hoping it goes into the basket. The same way everybody else will play. Because that's how you play basketball. Gee willikers, haven't you ever seen a basketball game, Mark?
Of course I have. I'm an expert.
I thought you were Mark.
I am Mark.
But you just said you were an expert. That's a dumb name. An expert? What's the N stand for? No basketball knowledge?
You're confused, Shaq.
No, I'm Shaquille.
This is annoying.
No, this is a telephone call.
I'd like you to stop.
It doesn't matter what you wish. I can't make your wishes come true. You see, Mark, Kazam was a fictional character I played in a movie by the same name. I'm not really a slick-talking rapping genie. I'm Shaquille O'Neal, your special basketball correspondent. Now let's talk about tonight's game.
We're out of time.
No, we're Mark and Shaq. Did you bump your head recently, Mark? You don't seem to have all your wits about you.
I'm ending the phone call.
Okay, first of all, you're Mark, not ending the phone call. But I'll let that slide because you're clearly having some trouble grasping some very basic concepts, and you seem to be struggling with this very simple conversation. And second of all, good, end this call. You seem angry. Things are getting pretty heated. It's almost painful. I need to put some icy hot on this conversation. Gotta cool it down.
Say goodbye, Shaq. I can't take this anymore.
Goodbye, Shaq. I can't take this anymore.
Get off the phone, Shaq.
Again, I have to reiterate, if I were on the phone, I would crush it.
Goodbye.
Shaq out.
All right. Every now and then, we're slipped a great story that just can't happen, but yet it did.
Okay.
Police in Tennessee arrested a man for drunk driving and had no idea just how bizarre things were about to get. 35-year-old Curtis Ellman was stopped at a DUI checkpoint and ordered to get out of the car. He was wearing a white skirt, white and pink leggings, and black high heel shoes. The officer noted that he smelled of alcohol and was unsteady on his feet, which may have been because he was wearing high heels. He failed the sobriety test and then admitted to slamming several shots before getting in his car. And now the clincher. As Ellman was being led away to a patrol car, he told officers that he needed to go back to his car to receive a key to his chastity belt.
Oh, no.
He had a locked chastity belt attached to his man bits and wouldn't be able to take it off without the key. He explained that there were two keys in the car. One was on his keychain, and the other was on the necklace that his girlfriend was wearing. Mm-hmm. She was also drunk and sitting in the passenger seat. This is what I call cocked, locked, and ready to rock. I'll just file that right over here.
Put that in the outbox.
All right. If you are at your child's graduation ceremony and you're told not to cheer until all students have received their diplomas, you must obey. In Jackson, Mississippi, family members were asked to hold their applause until the end of the ceremony. When four people in the audience didn't do as they were told, they were escorted out, and school superintendent Jay Foster pressed charges of disturbing the peace. He said he wanted them to know that there will be consequences for their actions. He said that over the years, yelling and screaming at graduation ceremonies have gotten out of hand and have become very disruptive.
See, I'm torn on this because how do you not cheer for your kid, but also don't disrespect the 5,000 other people that are there?
The last graduation ceremony I went to was probably 8 years ago, and it was a high school, and there were thousands and thousands of kids. So it took 4 hours, and I can tell you exactly what it was. We were sitting in the stands. It was 2,000 kids sitting in their seats on their phones.
Oh, God, really?
Every one of them was on their phone.
That is the saddest thing in the history of graduation stories. Can I tell you something you don't need to know about my high school graduation?
Please.
That nobody does. I hardly remember any of it, except we were sitting on the football field in Kansas on a beautiful night. And in Kansas, because of the dust and stuff, the sunsets are so vibrant. Big, pink, red, yellow, purple, everything. I don't remember a thing about my graduation except one of my teachers leaning forward to me and the girl next to me and saying, "Look at that sky. You'll remember it for the rest of your life." And that's the only thing I remember from graduation. I was in a blackout otherwise. No, but that literally, like, the sky was so beautiful. And she said, "Remember it." And I remember it.
I have had, where was I? It might have been Tucson, Arizona. So we were going to do a broadcast there. I had gone to my room and we were having a production meeting in the lobby of the hotel at 6 p.m. So I'm walking from my room and I forgot something. So I turned around to go back to my room and I looked up and it was those red rocks.
Mountain, and
the sun was starting to, it was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. I sat down and just blew off the meeting because I'm not going to see that again.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get in trouble?
I don't get in trouble.
I forgot who I was talking to. You didn't go, "I'm so sorry, I was staring at rocks. It's a beautiful sunset, I apologize."
All right. In the category of "I'll bet you didn't know," I'm going to ask you, Gina, a question.
All right.
You figure it out. The residents of Church Hill, Manitoba, Canada, always leave their cars unlocked. Why do they do that?
Because it's a, well, that was an intensely loud anthem. Because it's a very safe town, and they don't need to lock their cars, and nobody ever steals anything.
Nope.
Because they want to let people sleep in their cars.
Nope.
Because somebody, the mayor, said, "Give me your keys. Keys are outlawed."
All right.
Okay, I'm out.
We could do this all morning.
We could.
It's this. The residents of Church Hill, Manitoba, Canada, everybody in town leaves the doors of their cars unlocked because they have a serious polar bear problem. And if you run up on a polar bear, which is very dangerous, you can run, take safe haven in somebody's car.
Are you serious?
Yep. Isn't that great?
That's insane. Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
Polar bears?
Canada.
Wow.
That's the same in the very first Pirates of the Caribbean. Johnny Depp's character and Orlando Bloom's character, they're sword fighting. And Orlando Bloom says to Johnny Depp, "Hey, that's cheating." And Johnny Depp goes, "Pirate." A Florida woman got a little too big for her boots during a substance-fueled rampage in which she beat up an elderly driver and attacked a cop, all while wearing nothing except a pair of cowboy boots.
Ooh.
Kelly Marie Carpenter was causing a scene in the middle of the street on Saturday, cursing and approaching vehicles while butt naked except the boots. When a 90-year-old driver came to a stop at a red light, Carpenter ran up to his car and began punching him through the open driver's window, forcing him to call 911. An officer arrived on the scene moments later and found the 51-year-old Carpenter still standing there, surrounded by a variety of household items. She threw a spray bottle in his direction and then rushed at him with a squeegee and demanding, "Arrest me, I'm naked." The cop did just that, taking her to jail, where she was charged with battery of a law enforcement officer, battery on a person over the age of 65, and indecent exposure.
Mark, I haven't said it in a while, so I think it's time to ask a question. We all need a hard look in the mirror.
Okay.
Who among us has not run through the streets in nothing but our cowboy boots punching people through their car windows?
Point well taken.
Thank you.
Now, I got to find it. Where did it go? Oh, crap. All right, we're going to have a topic, and we'll see if it works. I really need to find that sheet. Ah, here we go.
Maybe got it's under the dog bed.
No, got it.
Okay.
And this is primarily for the men. What do you do when you're having sex so that you don't prematurely finish? What do you think about to keep your mind off of it? Here are some of the lists. I think about my great-grandmother. I think about the face of a dog who's taking a crap. I think about Jacques Cousteau commandeering a small ship.
That's specific.
I recite as many football team lineups as I can. I multiply big numbers. I imagine I'm being punched in the face. Now, who was it? I think it was Matthew Perry from Friends.
Uh-huh.
He said his... Am I supposed to wrap it up now?
I want to know what Matthew Perry said.
He said when you are acting in a job where you have to look like you're figuring something out, he does math problems in his head.
Oh, that's smart. That's good.
It is. It is smart. Oh, I got to be out for the song. I couldn't figure out what the hell you were saying.
Yep, yep.
All right, well, here it is. Here's a song.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So, Todd, Pittsburgh wins the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley's Cup, Mark. It must be a big cup because everybody wants Lord Stanley's. But anyway, actually, the Stanley Cup is 3 feet tall, 35 pounds. They skated it last night as Pittsburgh won 3-1 over San Jose to win the series 3-2. Sidney Crosby, the Conn Smythe Trophy winner for MVP of the playoffs, and he, of course, is the captain, so he skated with the cup first. I might add, you know, when Gordie Howe passed away on Friday, we talked a little bit about him, and they also had a nice tribute during last night's game about the passing of Gordie Howe. One thing you almost forget, he didn't wear a helmet. He played hockey back in the days where they didn't wear helmets. So you talk about tough guys. Those old hockey players were tough guys. Meanwhile, NBA tonight, it's Cleveland at Golden State. And, of course, Golden State can wrap it all up tonight with a victory. They lead 3-1. But the Warriors will have to do without Draymond Green because he was suspended. Now, he was suspended for a little tussle with LeBron James late in Game 4. Apparently, he got his hand kind of tangled up in LeBron's testicular area, I guess. Or maybe you call it the crotchal crunch. I don't know. Or maybe the penile punch. I don't know. I mean, depending on what you guys want to call it. But anyway, he's not playing tonight, which is kind of a dilemma. Now, he's not allowed to be at the stadium tonight, okay? He's suspended. So where is he going to be to watch the game? And if the Warriors win tonight, how is he going to get to the arena fast enough to celebrate with his team?
Oh,
he's not there. He's not there.
I will say this about this game tonight. Steph Curry is going to play very well. It is going to be a great game, but Golden State will win.
I think so, too, and I think they'll wrap it all up tonight. Major League Baseball now. The Dodgers lose to San Francisco 3-1. Brandon Belt, a two-run home run in the sixth inning off of Julio Urias, the rookie. And Jake Peavy got his 150th win of the season, of his career. If he had 150 wins in a season, Mark, yes, that would be a record. but the Angels lost to Cleveland 8-3. And the Angels have lost six of their last seven. But Mike Trout got hit by a pitch on the thumb. They say the x-rays are negative, meaning the thumb isn't broken. So we'll see if he's in the lineup tonight against the Twins. By the way, at Salt Lake City, over the weekend, Tim Lincecum, the Angels' new pitcher, And, of course, he's on a rehab assignment there. Went 7 innings, 1 hit baseball, no runs. Triple-A baseball, you can bet he'll be with the big club soon. And the Cubs, 13-2 over Atlanta. You know, the Cubs are now 43-18. They've won 14 of their last 18. They are 25 games above 500. This is the best record after 61 games for the Cubs since 1907. Exactly. And they won the World Series that year. So there you go.
Todd, before you leave baseball, Mikey, tell your one Urabe story.
Okay, yesterday at the game, I was there with Jackie and Rita. And Mike Trout hit a 106-mile-per-hour line drive right into the grown area of Juan Uribe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The guy, he doesn't wear a cup. I guess he's known for not wearing a cup. He was laid out, and he did not move for about 5 minutes. At one point, he had to spread his legs just to, you know, let some, I guess, air into that region. And the report is a testicular contusion.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Similar to what maybe good. LeBron has right now, too. Oh, I don't know. But, yeah, that doesn't sound good. And thing is, we haven't had 106 mile an hour going that way, but we've all got there. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Mark, you've been tagged there before, Mike.
Many times.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, NFL, Broncos quarterback Paxton Lynch. He's their first-round draft pick. He signed his contract, 4 years, $9.5 million. They said, what do you do with the money? He goes, well, I want to give some to my church, some to my high school, some to my college, Memphis, and then start some charities in the Denver area. That's the first thing he said when he came out of his mouth. What do you do with the money? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That's a wonder. I think they've got themselves a winner there. PGA Daniel Berger won the St. Jude Classic. But here's the deal. With the U.S. Open this week in Oakmont, which is in Pennsylvania, Phil Mickelson's looking good. He's finished second in yesterday's tournament. And he's been like, he's got a lot of top five, top tens this year. So look out for Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open. And obviously over the weekend, too, Creator won the Belmont Stakes over Destin, won by a nostril. They said by a nose, it was a nostril. Exaggerator finished 11th in the 13-horse race. So not as much excitement for horse racing this year as last year with the American.
Linda and I watched it. It was good.
Yeah, great race, great race. Hey, that does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Don't forget, enormous selection of pre-owned vehicles as well. You're part of the family when you go to Frontier Toyota. Just mention the sound and see what they do for you.
Now, we've got a topic going to the guys. When you're having sex, what do you think of so that you don't finish too early? We've already gotten quite a few responses to 21003, and I'm just going to warn everybody, Terry Polo has called and wants to weigh in on that. No. So it's all coming up. All right, so we have a topic to the guys. When you're having sex, what do you think about to keep from finishing too soon? You texted what you're thinking about to 21003, and we're going to get into it in a minute, but Terry Polo, my friend Terry Polo, who played Ben Stiller's wife on Meet the Parents, and then now she's on The Fosters, and she and I started a film together. For some reason, this topic caused her to call me. Good morning, Terry.
Morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you, Terry?
I'm fantastic.
Good to hear. So there's something about this topic that caused you to call me. What is it?
Well, because I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, I'm sure you must have gotten several responses from guys at this point of what, you know, they think of in order to not
finish up.
Finish too soon?
Mm-hmm.
Too soon. Well, let's say too soon, yeah. You know, I'm sure that at least 90% of the responses have been that they think of you, because that's what I think of.
She's not wrong.
I mean, just your name alone, just, you know, brings to, and then your face. And, it's been about a year since I've, you know, been touched like that.
Uh-huh.
But to be quite honest, you know, it's just one thought of you, and it's all downhill, and everything just deflates.
Yeah. And Terry, I want to tell you, so we were talking the other day that it's been a year since you've had sex. And you went into this thing about, you know, a guy has to earn you. He has to earn that. Let me tell you something. All I'd have to do is give you $20 to tell you to lay down and shut up and let's get it done.
What is wrong with you, Mark?
There's a lot about your character, Mark.
Thank you.
Hey, Terry, listen.
Hey, what?
Now, I put some thought into this, and it's not good that you've gone for a year without a fella in your life. Here's what I'm offering you. We do a full-blown campaign up on markinthemorning.com, and we'll have your picture up there, and guys can then join in. They fill out a questionnaire. They post a current photograph of themselves. You get a chance to talk to them on the show some. We narrow it down to three. And then you and all three of the guys come in and we do a live dating game and you pick the one you like.
Please.
Now it's sad and pathetic, but no. I would do this for you.
No, it's fun.
It's sad and pathetic. I would expect nothing less from you, Mark. Let's do it. I'm good.
Okay. All right.
Oh, it's going to be so fun.
Then we will.
Oh, Dina, it's going to be so much fun.
We will meet up with our team and we'll start putting together the things that we have to put together. I will call you and let you know how we're going to do it.
Perfect. Sounds great.
I love you, sweetie. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, everybody texted their thing that they think about during sex so as not to finish too soon. Gina has those responses.
Waiting to get in the mood. By the way, you know that call was directly in retaliation for your birthday call to Terry Polo. That was 100% what she just did. All right, are you ready for the reason for the tricks that people think about so they don't finish up too early? Are you ready?
Oh yeah.
Okay, here we go. My ex-wife.
Ooh.
Phyllis Diller. Dead puppies.
Wow.
All 32 NFL teams by division. Now Terry was right. Here's a whole Mark Thompson section. Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson's face. Mark Thompson not wearing pants. Mark Thompson taking a crap. Ugly women I've met. Bozo the Clown getting hit by a school bus. Geddy Lee's face.
Oh, Geddy.
B. Arthur. How stupid Mark in the Morning is. And my favorite, I don't think about anything. I just bite the inside of my cheeks.
Dude, I can tell you, when I was in high school and I was going out on a date where I knew there was going to be action, right before I left the house, I would have to take care of business.
Yep.
Because at least that would, you know.
And by take care of business, you mean prayer.
Exactly.
Say a little please, prayer to sweet little baby.
Please allow me to beg for this.
Yeah.
All right. Nobody in the world loves fun facts more than I do. I have fun fact books all over the house. There's like five or six I didn't gotten to. So I know a lot of people don't like it as much as I do. So I'm going to limit myself to 50 seconds. This is fun facts for 50 seconds. Prisoners' most common request for their last meal is hamburger and fries. Ooh. Lincoln Logs were invited by John Lloyd Wright, the son of the architect Frank Lloyd Wright.
He invited them?
He invented it.
Oh, that's even better.
Lincoln Logs.
Okay.
Americans spend more money on slot machines than movies, baseball, and theme parks combined.
Wow.
The most popular grocery item in Canada is Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Huh.
In 1966, Howard Hawks checked into the Las Vegas Desert Inn for 10 days. When the hotel prodded him to check out, Hughes replied by buying the hotel for $13.2 million and declaring, "I'll leave when I feel like it." McDonald's keeps a fake restaurant in L.A. for filming TV commercials. It's so authentic, customers often try to order from the drive-thru. Crap.
Wait, that's a good one. Where is it?
I don't know.
We got to find it. Katie's got to go there.
It's here in L.A. somewhere.
We got to go. Mm.
We can broadcast from there.
Yes.
I don't know why, but let's do it. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, smash hit Hamilton won 11 Tony Awards last night, which is one fewer than the record, which was 12, won by what show, Mark, in 2001?
The Producers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was expecting to say, no, Mark, God, it's The Producers.
I saw it this morning when I was doing prep for the show.
Oh, good for you.
By the way,
yeah.
This guy, the lead guy, what's his name?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
This guy wrote this, directed this, and starred in it.
He did.
You talk about an individual success story. That's crazy great.
He said he was on vacation one year, like 4 years before, reading a book about Alexander Hamilton. For whatever reason, it struck a chord with him. He was riveted, and it took him about 3 years to come up with this.
That's just awesome.
Yeah, he definitely deserved all those wins. Meanwhile, Disney used Sunday's Tony Awards to unveil the first trailer of the new animated musical, Moana, and the preview is now online. Go check it out. We have it up at Mark in the Morning Facebook. It stars one of your favorite people, Mark.
Mm.
Can you smell what the rock is cooking?
Dwayne.
Yes, he's in it. He plays Maui, a god, and of course, as we know, the Hawaiian island. So that will be pretty spectacular.
Linda follows The Rock on Twitter or something, and she always reads me his motivational thing for the day.
Oh, he's the best. We really will have him on. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen.
We will. Yep. Can you smell what the rock's got cooking?
I'm Gina Grad, and Trending is brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed the SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, we have another Facebook feud ripped directly from the pages of Mark in the Morning. But first, the Stones. This is Mark in the Morning.
Stones, man!
Live from Radio City in Hollywood, it's Facebook Feud. Starring Mark Thompson with Gina Grad.
Facebook Feud consists of real online conversations between real people about really stupid stuff. The names have been changed to protect the ignorant, but these posts may sound familiar. KSWD-FM, its staff, ownership, management, sponsors, affiliates, and the actors who skillfully reenact these conversations are not responsible if you recognize one of your posts. Newsflash, Facebook is public. Anybody can read them. Allow us to prove it as we bring you Facebook Feud. The following posts occurred on Mark in the Morning's Facebook page underneath a picture of Meg Ryan from last night's Tony Awards. There's been considerable discussion about her appearance following plastic surgery. So it's okay to body shame now?
I think Meg Ryan looks great. She got up there and smiled, even though she knew that ass clowns like Mark would put her down. Hashtag, you go, Meg.
OMG, she's hideous. She used to be so hot. Now she looks like Joan Rivers, minus the dead.
Oh my God.
Blink! Work! Work!
It's not okay, it goes.
Adults making fun of adults like children. There's so much other BS in this world to worry about than somebody's face. Hashtag shame on you, Mark.
My all-time favorite actress, but now she looks like the Joker.
Whatever makes her happy. Good grief, you people are mean, just like Mark. Do you really want to be just like Mark?
Barbara Streisand's face was a bit of a shock as well. Yeah, they wrote it.
I hate when that happens to Barbara Streisand. Our society puts so much value on youth and beauty. For some, sadly, that becomes so much of what they think they are. But there is no escaping the ravages of time. But then, those who try to reduce those savages are scorned and insulted by the likes of Mark Grumpy Old Man Thompson. There's just no winning.
She has a little too much filler in her cheeks. Her eyelids have fallen just a little. BFD. Mark could use a little eye lift and filler himself. Hashtag just saying.
Work! I hate this machine!
Danny. I can give you a clue. Do it with the mouse, not your finger.
I am.
That's okay. What?
Yeah, that's what makes it work. Okay. And by the way, just for the record,
I got it.
I didn't post that picture. Dave Beezing did.
Oh, call him out. Well done, Mark. Hey, by the way, we have a little surprise for you at some point whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. So you did a really fun little bit. You did, 50 seconds of fun facts, which everybody enjoyed. I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. However, there was a little confusion. So we're trying our best to follow you. We like fun facts, too, but you didn't make it easy on us. Here's the first problem we had with your fun facts.
In 1966, Howard Hawks checked into the Las Vegas Desert Inn for 10 days. When the hotel prodded him to check out, Hughes replied by buying the hotel for $13.2 million and declaring, I'll leave when I feel like it.
So
Howard Hughes.
Which is it?
Howard Hughes. Damn it. I've got a great fun fact, and it's because I was rushing to fit a lot of them in. Damn it.
Okay, well. Hold on, there's more.
Oh, God.
Now, you seemed confused that I was confused, but maybe if you listen back, you'll know why I was confused. Hit it.
Lincoln Logs were invited by John Lloyd Wright, the son of the architect Frank Lloyd Wright.
He invited them?
He invented it.
Oh, that's even better.
Lincoln Logs. Damn it. I swear to God. I'm on the air, people. Do you understand this?
It's crazy.
It's stupid because Frank Lloyd Wright's son invented Lincoln Logs, but nobody got it because I can't speak the English frickin' language.
But that is a great fun fact now that we know that he wasn't invited.
See, fun facts for 50 seconds doesn't work if I have to come back and explain the name. I swear to God. Okay. In Fun Facts for 50 Seconds, we learned that McDonald's keeps a McDonald's store in L.A. just for shooting commercials. They don't actually serve any food. Leonard has called from Pomona, and he knows where it is. Good morning, Leonard.
Good morning. How are you doing, Mark?
Good. Where is it?
I'll give you the... What, you want the address?
Well, what city is it in?
It's in City of Industry.
Oh.
Where about? What, do you have the exact address?
Yes, I do.
Could you give it?
Sure, it's 17030 Green Drive.
Okay.
Leonard, Jackie's going to pull something out of that booty box to thank you for that. I'm not sure what we're going to do with it, but it's cool to have it.
Okay, you're more than welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, so we're now going to do a press conference, Mark in the Morning press conference. You can call us up and you can ask any question of any member of this show. 888-696-1003.
Sorry, that's your talking time.
I was looking around. I'm thinking I must have spit on the screen. But
and I'm wondering, why are you not talking? And they're like, oh, wait, that's me playing that.
And I'm just watching both of you like I'm at a tennis match.
Faces, the confused faces.
Okay.
Hi.
It is time now for a Mark in the Morning press conference. Now, we had you call, and some of you texted. Mikey, why don't you ask a question from the text poll?
All right. How about this one? Mark, how did you and Linda meet?
It was a blind date. The general manager of the radio station that I was working for in Savannah had a buddy, and his buddy's wife was the coach of the college cheerleader squad.
Mm.
And I wasn't really seeing anybody, and his wife, I was talking to her, she said, I've got somebody that I think you would really, really like. So I said, great. That weekend, I had one of those things that was an appearance at the mall that radio people do. I was encased in cases of Coke.
The good old days.
The DJ doesn't get to get out until you've bought all the Cokes. So it was set up for her to come meet me at the mall. And she later told me the story. She would have much rather gone to the beach because she went to the beach all the time. So there I am standing there in this cell of Coke cases and up she walks. And it was a little awkward. She was kind of shy. The one thing that I remember was that my wife has 34 double D's, and she wore a tight purple shirt that day. And the only thing that I was thinking, while she was standing in front of me, I have got to see those.
So you've told me this story off the air, and I cannot believe you just said it on the air.
Oh, no.
I thought we were going to stop at the she was very shy.
No. Okay. Let's get right down to the meat of the matter. We met at a mall.
The sweater meat of the matter.
And then our first date was a Ruby Tuesdays, and I was so broke. My credit card was completely maxed out. I had not made a payment in months, and I just knew, and I had no cash. I just knew that this was going to come back, and they denied my card, and that Linda would have to pay for it. Luckily, they took it, and the rest is history. 34 years.
You were such a catch. Why did you make this poor woman that you never met meet you in the middle of a station stunt?
I don't remember how that decision was made, quite honest with you. I don't remember.
Wow.
But she was one of the only listeners I had. She actually listened to me on the radio.
That's great.
And this was, in the world of radio, this was 81. This was right when kids had stopped listening to AM for music and they were moving over to FM.
Uh-huh.
So this was my very first morning show on an AM. There were so not anyone listening that I would say, I've got free movie tickets to the fifth caller. And then the next break, you'd hear me go, I've got free. Nobody would call. Nobody. All right, let's go to Jeff. Jeff from Manhattan Beach. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Welcome to the press conference.
Thank you. I have a question for Gina Grad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gina.
Yeah.
Why do you hold such a grudge for Mr. Mark Thompson? It seems like everything he says, you make notes and you call him out on the air, off the air too, I'm sure. What is behind all this?
Hey, man, I'll give you a very clear answer. Yes, and I know that everyone's sitting in their cars, sitting at work going, wait, did he just say Howard Hawks? And I don't want them to think they're having a stroke.
His answers were clear as day, even though he made mistakes. This is like picking on senior citizens. It's like going to Grandpa's house and writing down all the mistakes he made. He can't help himself.
No, Jeff, you're absolutely right. I apologize, Mark. I will absolutely continue to keep doing it, but I apologize in advance.
Okay, remember, respect your elders.
All right, Mikey.
Okay, Gina.
What?
No, this is a good one. Okay. They're asking you how... I lost it. It keeps going up. Hang on. Keep talking.
Keep talking. I'm waiting for the question.
Gina, what is the biggest key in how you lost your weight?
Oh.
Has your dieting views changed?
Absolutely. Well, we talked about this. We had my buddy Vinny Tortorich on. He is Adam's nutritionist on the Adam Carolla show that I do. So we had him on. We'll probably have him on again, right, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
He talks about the whole no sugar, no grain lifestyle, hashtag NSNG. And it's really hard at first, but I've pretty much eliminated, I'd say, I don't know, 90% of sugars and grains from my diet, and it kind of fell off. And I hate when people say, the weight just fell off, because it crawls off me most of the time, but it really did kind of fall off, and I started exercising every day. I exercised before the show, and feel really good, and it just kind of, you know, that spare tire around your middle section sort of goes away when you cut out the sugar.
Sugar, but it's so good.
I know.
Snickers bars, but so good.
You know what else is good? Not what? Zipping your pants with a wrench or a pliers. That's also good. So that's how I did it. And we'll have him back on because he really has a lot of great information.
He said that you can't lose weight by exercising. You have to lose weight by what you put in your mouth and, more importantly, what you don't.
Yeah, a lot of people say abs are made in the kitchen, so you cut out a lot of that crap and it falls off. And he has a good website, by the way, vinnytortorich.com. But we'll have him on again because he's a dear friend and he really helped me a lot.
All right, we're in the middle of a Mark in the Morning press conference. Mikey, if you have a question, 888-696-1003. Is there another question on the text board?
We can do this one. Will there be another live Matt, fill in the blank with Matt and Frank? And if so, can they do Inagata Da Vida?
Do we have 42 minutes?
I mean, the album version is an entire album side of Inagata Da Vida. There is going to be a live Matt and Frank. However, Inagata Da Vida will not be performed by the boys. I'm just saying. Prepare to learn something. Highway 101 stretches from Los Angeles all the way up California, but there is a noted difference between how a resident of LA refers to it and how a resident of San Francisco refers to it. Thanks to my Southern California upbringing, I prefer to taking the 101. While a denizen of Oakland and San Jose people, or further up the coast in Oregon or Washington, will probably instruct a traveler to simply take 101.
Hmm.
By the time the rest of the country started building highways, LA already had several local freeways. They all had local names that described their route, like the San Bernardino Freeway, mm-hmm. the Ventura Freeway. Besides certain freeways encompassed multiple route numbers, the Hollywood Freeway was both Route 66 and 101, depending on where you were along it. In 1964, California simplified its numbering system so the highways only had one route number each, but the linguistic pattern was already set. Eventually, people began to replace descriptive names like the Harbor Freeway with route numbers, but it's still the 110, not 110. Essentially, the is just Southern Californians saying, I drove along highways before it was cool. Hipness is at least one bright side of dealing with all that traffic.
Well, it's the same thing. You know, in news, we're told not to say the PCH. You have to say PCH. So this is a very divisive debate.
when Mark and Brian was broadcasting in San Francisco, what was the thing we were explicitly told not to do?
Take your pants off.
San Fran?
Oh, probably. Yeah, they don't like San Fran.
Or Frisco.
Frisco, I think it was.
Yeah. Okay.
But people say Frisco. Nobody says San Fran.
Don't do it up in the Bay Area.
All right, I won't.
Now, that is weird. In my prep, this music was what I chose for the next song. It just happened to be the music that was chosen for the highway thing. A Wisconsin man is on the hook for 7 years of jail time after he couldn't reel in a judge with claims that his DUI bust was actually caused by eating too much battered fish.
What?
He tried to use that in the courtroom.
That doesn't make any sense.
Beer batter.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
John Percival had 9 previous drunk driving busts on his record, but was pulled over for a broken taillight, then tested after the officer smelled alcohol on his breath. The 76-year-old suspect insisted that it was just the fish, but he was asked to take the breathalyzer test anyway, which he failed.
I'm mad at you right now. I'm going to call you out again, Jeff, because that would have been a perfect opportunity for puns, but I'm just not ready yet.
You have to.
Oh, well, I didn't think.
Okay, listen. I am telling you to do exactly what it is that you do. It's fun for me.
It sounds like a fishy situation. I'm sorry, Mark. I wasn't ready. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
All right, so this is weird. This Stephen Matchett claims that the story of Ozzy and Sharon separating is a stunt.
Ooh.
Aimed at giving publicity to Black Sabbath's farewell tour. He said, quote, "I would put money on a publicity stunt. Sharon would do this in a minute. It's propaganda. Sharon is clever enough to make a story that the press would read, so all of a sudden he becomes relevant again." In response, this is Ozzy's response. He says, in response to recent stories you printed with comments from Stephen Matchett, for the record, Mr. Matchett never managed me, nor was he employed by me in any capacity at any time in my career. His representation of this is a categorical lie. I met him when he was hanging around the music industry in the early 80s, but I haven't seen him in at least 30 years. He is a sad, delusional relic from the 80s.
Wow. Those are some harsh words.
They're just not liking each other is what I'm saying.
Well, you know what? Even if he is right, let's say it's true and this is all for the farewell tour. In a way, I still respect Sharon. She is a shrewd businesswoman.
There's no question about it. And proven, I think it was the next morning after it was announced, she was at a press conference with Ozzy. And the hug that Ozzy gave Sharon from behind is right up there with David.
Yes.
David Guest and Liza Minnelli kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Can we not post that, by the way?
Look, if you want to be creeped out, look it up. He's sucking her face. It's just.
Yeah.
It's
like two people who had never felt the touch of another human being, and someone said, and go!
Let's take a look into the world of trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, Facebook turned on its safety check feature for the victims of the Orlando attack, which is the first time it's been used in the United States. So the tool lets Facebook users in Orlando confirm that they're safe or unsafe or outside the affected area with a click of a button. Facebook has previously employed its safety check feature after emergencies in France, Belgium, Pakistan, Nigeria, India, other countries, but this is the first time we've had to use it.
Well, it explains why Linda said to me last night, Facebook is down. And I remember thinking, wow, what has to happen for that? But that explains it.
That makes sense. So yeah, basically you can just log in and check in saying, you know, where you are, if you're okay. And that's the easiest and quickest, most efficient way for other people to find out. Because if you saw some of those clips of some of the parents and families and friends gathering outside the Pulse, the dance club, crying, going, I don't know where my son is.
Wow.
This would be a way to find out. But man, what a horrific experience for anyone someone who didn't know where their child was.
Wow.
Hamilton creator and star Lin-Manuel Miranda gave an acceptance speech on winning Best Original Score last night at the Tonys. He wrote a sonnet to commemorate the occasion. He said he's a little too old to memorize this stuff now, so he wrote it down. Miranda referenced the Orlando attack and spoke in depth about love. Here's a clip.
When senseless acts of tragedy remind us that nothing here is promised, not one day. The show is proof that history remembers. We live through times when hate and fear seem stronger. We rise and fall and light from dying embers, remembrances that hope and love last longer. And love is 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 love cannot be killed or swept aside. I sing Vanessa's symphony, Eliza tells her story. Now fill the world with music, love, and pride. Thank you so much for this.
Wow. That was very moving.
Yeah, that is a beautiful speech. By the way, a little uplifting, little piece of trivia, because I know you love your trivia. You know that for Hamilton, they had 16 Tony nominations, which is the most in history for one show. But do you know why it was impossible for them to win all 16?
No, why?
Some of the actors were up against each other in the same category.
Oh.
So they mathematically could not have won 16 Tonys, but it's still the most nominations for any single show in history.
Can you imagine how it must feel for this guy? He writes this show, Hamilton. He directs it. He stars in it. It's a giant hit. And how it must feel for him every night to stand up on that stage, do something that came from him, that he created, and they love it. Can you imagine how great that would be?
I can't imagine. This is something that, you know, it comes along once in a shooting star lifetime for people. And I will admit this right now, because I'm obsessed with the soundtrack. I've heard it 1,000 times. I know I'll see it when it comes to L.A. I remember last year writing a friend of mine who's just immersed in all things Broadway, one of my best friends, and texting him going, have you seen this Hamilton thing everyone's talking about? It's like a hip-hop history musical. How stupid does that look? And he wrote me back, no, it's supposed to be incredible. Okay, you know everything about this hip-hop history musical. I stand corrected. It's amazing. All right, I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Cheap Trick.
Monday done. Uncle Joe, though, celebrates the beginning of the week with a 10 at 10.
I'm going to have to come up with a word that rhymes with done.
Fun.
There I am, yes. All right, 10 of 10 today. This is going to be great. It's the year that WKRP in Cincinnati came out and revealed all the secrets about radio.
78.
That's right. 1978. That's the year we're featuring great music, goofy TV shows, music. 10 o'clock today, that's happening.
I swear I thought turkeys could fly.
Oh, the humanity.
All right, so tomorrow we welcome in author, what's his name? Josh Kendall. He wrote a book, First Dads. Because for dads out there who've just had a kid, this will be their first Father's Day ever. Plus, the topic is, she said no to my marriage proposal. If you got the guts to call in. Mikey!
I need a jungle and I need to be welcome into it.
You didn't.
You didn't. In the morning.
Nope, not playing it. Won't do it.
That was my favorite of all time.
Explains the smell.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.